The Jane Harris and Scott Hamilton Quintet with Blues for Jean. That's from their 1990 album, At Last. Jean Harris, of course, is on piano, Scott Hamilton on tenor sax, Herb Ellis on guitar, Ray Brown on bass, and Harold Jones on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrecht's lead, and we're trying our best to, this is me speaking for me, nobody else. I'm so sick and tired of having to respond as a news person to things that we should have seen and reported on years ago. They're now talking as if, well, Donald Trump is back in charge, and I'm wondering, am I in a parallel world of some sort? Why is everybody acting as if, well, they're covering the news? The news was years ago. The news was even before he got into office, that he was unfit, unsuitable, dishonest, a liar, and a really terrible example of what leadership is all about. And here we are, years later, and the reporting on what they say is, you know, these are current events, but they were current years ago. My gosh. And it's just so sickening. Everybody is going along with the journalistic orders of the day. We are supposed to be pretending that we're covering current events, current news, current developments, all of which made themselves known, adequately known, years ago. And I wonder, are we drinking some kind of special water? Are we breathing some kind of special air that causes our brains to addle? I don't know. But anyway, today supposedly is a day that Congress is attempting to restrain the president. Yeah, they're trying to do that today. And frankly, I'm fed up with the whole debacle in Washington, D.C., and I am coming close to the conclusion that they all need to go. You know, here is Nancy Pelosi again. She has emerged through careful manipulation of the media as the Jeanne d'Arc, the Joan of Arc of our legislative system. And she is going to try to take action in Congress to rein in the president. A little late, would you say? A little late? He is heading into his second term. She's now trying to figure out how to rein him in when the work that she was supposed to do was to prevent him from coming in, knowing what she knows and what she knew. You would think that there would be a far more proactive stance by this Democratic Party. But as we see, people are just sitting around because they are assured of a paycheck. they like the idea of reminding people how special they are because of they have achieved this and they've achieved that, and they're appointed to this committee and they head that committee. And none of it has to do with the fact that they're not doing their jobs. They're late. They're really late on the draw here. And we put up with it. I am so upset with my fellow Americans right now, I can't even tell you. Things have been pointed out time and again to pull our coats, and we just, you know, we're waiting for somebody to come along and solve it. Just solve it. But leave us out of it, because we have other things to do. Well, you know, we can't have it both ways. If we absent ourselves from what democracy really is, which is, it's a do-it-yourself proposition. It's not that, well, we've hired a new crop of people and we'll just watch them do their thing. And during all that time, which is wasted, we're bellyaching and complaining about what is not being done. And the last thing we're doing is looking at ourselves. What are we not doing? We have a very uninvolved democracy here. People talk about it, but they're not involved in it. And in fact, not only aren't they involved, they intend to be uninvolved. That's why we hire congresspeople. That's why we have senators. Yes, but they're really not the right people for the job. They've been underperforming spectacularly. And think of the shame that in 2020, which has come, smacked us in the face, and we still are not waking up. We still are relegating the bulk of responsibility for democracy to the people we know are not doing the job. Now, we have a long list of criticisms. We have a long list of complaints, but no list, not even a short list, of direct involvement in getting these things done. We complain, we bellyache, we get upset. Let's say, okay, I understand how you feel. I get it. You have every right to feel the way you do. Now, what are you doing about that? And you hear grasshoppers. Nobody's talking back to you about what specifically they are doing to combat the very things that they're complaining about. This is what has landed us in the position that we're in. Imagine in 2020, that's almost 4 years have passed since there was a change in Congress. Did you recognize it? Did you recognize the change? Has it improved your life? We have become babysitters to a very unstable president and his administration. And the people on the other side of the coin who are supposed to be literally taking this as their cue, time to break out. time to go for broke. And what do we have reports of? Meetings and hearings and hearings and meetings. That's it. Nothing is being done. There are no results you can consistently point to say, well, okay, they got us over that hump. No. Imagine Nancy Pelosi, you head up the Democratic Party. And all we hear from you is what Trump is not doing. We know that. We could tell you, we have told you that. What is being accomplished? They're still operating like they have all the time in the world. Yes, they would wish that we weren't in the situation that we're in, but they're doing the best they can. And our response uniformly is, well, we know how hard it is, but we really need to see some results. And the answer comes back again. We're doing the best we can. Like today, we had a meeting to rein the president in. It is almost time for his re-election, and they're talking this nonsense. You know, I just don't get it. Why are we so tolerant of underperforming legislators? Why are we so tolerant of it? Why do we act as if, well, you know, we can't criticize because we aren't in the thick of it. They are. And to some degree, we have to give them enough elastic to go through the process. We get all this mumbo jumbo. No. You're either succeeding or you're failing. Which is it? Meantime, your life, your quality of life hasn't changed one whit. You still are wearing nice clothes. You still are living far better than the rest of your constituency. You're still going on vacation. You're still having a ball. And with help, paid help. It's not like you are doing this all by yourself. You got a huge staff. You got all you need to do your job. And we can't see results. And we are going along not complaining. And it's beyond complaining at this point. It is time to mount campaigns to let them know we're coming after you. It's not a matter of taking sides. You're all underperforming. The president is a total wreck for this country. To what degree has he improved the quality of life of us and the people we know? To what degree? We keep hearing about the economy being so vigorous and growing, and yet every time you pick up the paper, Bed Bath & Beyond is closing its stores, and Macy's has already made plans to shut down most of its stores. Why are we putting up with this? Why are we putting up with this kind of abuse and lies and inaction? And all we do is complain. Look at what they're not doing. Well, what are you not doing? What are we not doing? We refuse
to activate our power. We just refuse to do it. We prefer to be innocent or not so innocent bystanders. We're watching the accident occur in slow motion. The same accident that we predominantly will be victims of, and yet we see little to comfort us that, well, we may not have maximum performance yet, but we're on our way. There's nothing that indicates that the people of the United States, fed up as we are with Donald Trump, are on our way to anything except complaining. And we will richly deserve what we get. I don't want to hear anybody coming, on air talking about the problems that are extremely visible. Everybody could see them. Everybody's feeling the effects of them. But we're not doing anything about it. We're pointing at the people who should be doing something. They're pointing back at us. And in the meantime, things are getting exponentially worse. And we know he's doing wrong. And we let him get away with it. And the consequences don't accrue to the person doing all this wrong. The consequences come to us. We are the ones paying the price. We have no fight in us. We have no guts, not even to fight for ourselves. We are quite content to leave that to somebody else. And we are the first ones on the bandwagon of blame. Who is responsible for this? Never the finger pointing back at us. We are the ones. Now, I have said to you that years ago, I made a commitment to myself about voting. All the time in between till now, I've proven myself right. There is no incentive to vote at all because we are not in this game. You think the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, they worry that we are so far behind and that they are so far behind. They're right on time to talk about voting and why we should vote. I made up my mind more than 20 years ago. You're not performing. I refuse to invest in a losing proposition or to have you convince me. I have a brain. I think. You cannot persuade me that your very existence as a representative of the people has made or continues to make a significant difference. You can't persuade me about that. Given you the benefit of time, given you the benefit of the doubt, and you come up short all the time. I know I'm painting with a broad brush here, but it is warranted. It is sickening, and we should take these demonstrations by the so-called political parties as direct hits at us. They're diminishing us. They don't care. They're out for their own self-interest, and the self-interest of the people they think they are in Washington for. We could live without these parties. Get rid of them. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not serving a useful purpose, except like today, when they can get a little bit of media coverage about them trying to rein President Trump in ex post facto. You must think I'm an idiot to think that this is a useful endeavor and that I should support you in this endeavor. No, I won't. Let's all go to hell together. If this is what you understand the reason for politics is, if this is what you understand your role in politics is, I could live without it. I certainly can live without it, with not one pang of conscience. I could do without you. But you clearly understand that you can't do without me. And even though you get support you don't deserve, you still abide by the established rules of at least 3 or 4 decades ago. Your political party is not an agent of change, it's just an agent. And you embark on this phony mission to convince the people that you are fighting for all of us. You're not. And we need to let you know that publicly. You're failing. You have failed. You consistently have failed. There is no reason to support you because you do nothing without support except assist in our annihilation, acting today. You know, it got me so angry when I realized that today is the day that they're going to say that, we tried to rein him in when you knew he was bad news before he even came into office. Now you're trying to rein him in when the stakes are ridiculously high. I'm sick of it. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of it. And I'm beyond the point of being convinced that the reality is otherwise. That you really, you have a mission, you're taking it seriously, you're engaging with the people who elected you, apprising us of whatever progress you have made on anything. everything that matters to us is second or third on your agenda. Number one is, I have to move up the ladder. I've got to run again. I've got to amass more and more power. For me, personally. Away with you. We're done. But that is not enough. We have fallen down so badly on the job to look out for our interests and to defend our interests and to take to task these people who, you know, see it very differently. They are elected officials. That's one accomplishment in their book. You mean beyond that we have to be concerned? No. I'm not all that concerned. I'm getting older. I want my pension. I want a nice office outfitted in oak and plush leather chairs with a view. That's what I want. And guess what? If I have to choose between what I want and what you want, you know the decision I'm going to make. I am the priority, always. I'm sick of it. I've said it many times, but I feel better when I say it. So I beg your indulgence to let me just express this frustration. But it is really beyond frustration. It is the fact that there's a deliberate squandering. There's a deliberate diminishing of potentially awesome power. We're afraid of it. And there are people who are afraid of it so much, they will do everything to squash any effort at all by the people to assert their power, to take their power. That's what's happening today. The shame of it, that at this moment is when the Democratic Party is realizing, oh, we got to rein this president in. Who cares? You're useless. Why would I choose to follow a useless leader? I would rather not be involved at all than to compound my anger with shame that I am joining forces with people who are underperforming. And they are very satisfied with underperforming because nobody's coming after them. Nobody's keeping their feet to the fire. I'm done with you people. I'm done. As I said, when I made my vow to myself, unless there is a compelling reason for me to shift gears and move in another direction, I remain completely uncommitted to this political game. Psychologically, I can't do it. I find that it is such an oppressive presence in my life. I don't want any part of it. So I put you out. Get out of my life. Better still, I'll get out of your life. And I am fine with that. Don't come to me talking about the benefits of democracy. Don't preach to me about sacrifices people have made. That is our history. Our history is of sacrifice. So this is no different from at any other time in history. So I'll try that. It's not going to work. Don't preach to me about, well, you talk a good talk, but are you walking the walk you want everybody to walk? Don't come with me with that. I have explained myself quite a bit about this one question, this one issue. I'm not interested in endorsing anybody because you're not endorsing me. You're not endorsing my community. I want people to understand. Don't talk to me if we talk about anything except the need to support this party or that party. Nope. That's where I'll wish you a pleasant day and I'll be gone. I don't want to hear this garbage. So at some point before the end of the day, we will learn whether the queen of the Democratic Party and the party itself, that they have succeeded in restraining the president, as if that was a great mission in, to begin with. It's not about restraining him. It's about getting rid of him. Get him out of the White House. Get somebody who understands. Get somebody sane. How about that? Never mind all the superlatives that we expect that person to have. We just want somebody who's sane. And we wanted that from the beginning. We are about to enter the second cycle of madness. And only now do you think it is important to see if you could rein him in, you know, like the enfant terrible. What do you need? You need chocolate? Would that make you shut up? They do know the answer to that question. The enfant terrible doesn't need chocolate. That's not enough. He needs you dead. He needs you completely unable to function. He needs you permanently poor. That's what he needs. And you're going along with this game. Well, you go along with other people. Don't count on me. We'll take this break and come back to your comments and questions and observations right after this at 888-874-4888. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.fm. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the preposterous position that we're in as, you know, would be or alleged or even current voters. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon, Utrice. How you doing?
Okay, Ed. How are you doing?
Like I say, hanging on by my thumbs. Barely. I tell you, I've got to concur with you, and I am of the personal belief, just let it all go. I mean, the corruption, the incompetence, the general stupidity is so pervasive and so endemic and so woven into the fabric of this quote-unquote political democratic system that it needs to go. I mean, like, I'm a mechanic by trade, and when a mechanical system has outlived its life, it's best to let it die and start all over again. And I'm at the point where this thing is done. I mean, it's done. It's beyond comic. It's beyond tragic. And the American people just don't have the gumption, the intellect, or the ability to even attempt to take control of the reins. It's gone. So just let it die. Cover down for yourself. Take care of those. Hold the ones that you hold dear close to you. Try to educate those for the future. And just prepare for the worst. Because I see no hope in this. I see no hope.
Well, I commiserate with you. How could I not? Because I feel exactly the same way. We've done enough, more than enough. Mm-hmm. And this ungrateful Democratic Party still would not admit that whatever achievements it points to, it is because of people of color in this country who decided to lend their support, even though they were not part of the benefits. They were not part of it.
Most definitely. I mean, the sacrifice of the African-American in this country goes without saying. And the Democratic Party owes its existence to us. And just the total neglect, the total absence of any type of unity, of any type of cooperation, of any type of respect, it's beyond offensive. Like I said, I'm done. I am done. I try to educate those who want to listen,
people,
and I'm done.
People should not be at a point in 2020 begging and pleading to be let in.
No.
To this party, and that includes presidential candidates. You have an almost all-white thing going on there. So keep it.
Yep.
You keep it. We'll find some other way. And that's that should be our marching orders. Find another way. Find another way to make use, maximum use, of the power that you have. Thanks for calling in, Ed.
Thank you.
Ed from California. You're on the air.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. I'm hanging in.
Yeah, me too. One of the things I really can't stand about Nancy Pelosi, every time I hear her say, I go through the roof, let's pray for him. Let's pray for him. You know, if I want somebody in Congress to pray for my president, I'll get a priest. Do your job. Stop praying. And by the way, she's prayed so many times. How's that working for her? How's that working for the country? You know, when you try the same thing 1,000 times and expect a different result, we call that insanity. Nancy Pelosi is insane. She's insane. She's just as insane as Donald Trump. And she takes more money from HMOs. That's why she never promotes universal health care. And the Democratic Party can't decide whether it wants to be a corporate party or party of the people. And they left the party of the people in 92 when Clinton got elected. And he only got elected because Ross Perot ran and took a lot of the Republican votes away, or George H.W. Bush would have been president again. So I was fed up with the Democratic Party when Barack Obama was elected and promised so many different things and didn't deliver. And I saw people getting disgruntled. I saw a bagger at Gelson's when I was shopping there who was disgruntled in 2012. He said, my payroll taxes went up. I'm not going to vote for Obama. So, and the other problem here is when you say you're frustrated with the average American not fighting, most people aren't aware. Most people don't even pay attention, unfortunately. I see people, they're screen obsessed. They're obsessed with their screens. And I doubt they're reading politics when they're looking at their screens, taking their dogs for a walk, and they're not even really taking their dogs for a walk. They're taking their electronic device for a walk, and the dog, poor dog, is along for the walk. So we have a culture of distraction. We have a culture of ignorance, and it breeds about us a perfect storm. But I'm not going to give up hope because I do see legitimate organizations trying to fight. I do see the comedians. A few that are out there are telling the truth about what's really going on. I'm about to join those people this Tuesday. I've got my first performance. My wife had a stroke 9 years ago, and I gave up comedy to care for her, and then she passed away at the end of July. So my return to the stage will be next Tuesday to tell the truth about what's really going on through humor. And that's what I have to offer today, Utrice.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Valuable. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. And I would
Thank
have
you.
To say that I wholeheartedly agree with the positions that you and Ed have taken. You know, if ever I were in a dogfight, I think we all know from January of 18, when those group of psychiatrists issued their duty to warn letter. We know that he is crazy. We know that he is a narcissistic egomaniac. But you want to know something? If I was ever in a fight, I'd want him by my side. Because he upends any rule. I mean, now, I recognize that part of this is his mental illness. But the point is, he is willing to fight for whatever his crazy mind believes, which means that he outsmarts the Democrats every time. They come across as though they are whining. They don't know what to do with him. But you want to know something? They don't even use the strategies that they have at their disposal. They hold the purse. And they have in their hands the ability to just not pay for anything that they don't want, that they disagree with. But they don't use that. We listen to all of those hearings in the House, all of those subpoenas that they issued, that everybody ignored. They could have taken the position that you ignore a legal subpoena, there will be consequences, even arrest. They chose not to do that. When you look at all the strategies they have at their disposal, they have never exercised one. So somebody has to ask the question, are they serious? And no one who truly, honestly believes that their situation is better off under the Democrats could believe that they are serious. You look at Democratic cities. Here in New York, you've got a Democratic governor, who is going to unleash 500 state troopers on the subway system, on the transit system. And yet still, in doing that, he has bloated our budget. So how is he going to control the budget now? He's going to cut Medicaid. So, you know, I keep telling people, we're not doing any better under Democrats. We're not doing any better under Republicans. So we need to come up with a completely different strategy that excludes them both. A third party, you know, we want progress without struggle. Everybody wants an easy ride. There is no such thing as an easy ride. If you want progress, as Frederick Douglass says, if you want progress, you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to struggle for it. Some of us will pay the ultimate penalty. But in the benefit of the majority, in the benefit of the larger group, that's the only way we succeed.
Very sobering thought, but right on point as usual, Patricia. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing.
Thank you.
The second Ed is on for us today. No, this would be the
third Ed from Michigan.
You mean Jeff from Michigan?
Oh, you were Jeff. It's,
yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I called in yesterday.
You were mislabeled.
Yeah, that's okay. I have a, I really like your program. This is the second time I've listened to it. And you're an extremely sentient human being, in my opinion. I wanted to just make a comment about what I was talking about yesterday. You were talking about truth and looking through the propaganda. And I want to make it succinct because I wasn't yesterday. There's a way to do it, and it's called the rules of evidence. And what you do is you strip down what you're hearing based on its likely credibility. It's not how much you bring in, it's how little you bring in. You make sure that your brain only gets what is credible. And if you know the rules of evidence from the court or any part of that, like hearsay, you reject those things that don't have credibility. So, and what I was trying to say yesterday was repetition is what propagandists use to defeat you in trying to find the truth. That's one of their means. They just repeat the lies. But there are a couple of places you can go to get what I it appears to be, at least temporarily, some pretty good information. Obviously, your station is one of the few. The Pacifica network has very good programs, and I've noticed that TYT, the Young Turks, who supported the Justice Democrats, who include AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and a few others, and they're trying to push as much as possible to get people not to take political action committee money and not to take corporate money. That seems to make a big difference because those women are mostly only the people that I hear from in this new Congress. They seem to be the ones doing the work. And so for those that are FDR Democrats like myself, who can't believe we got so lucky to get a guy like FDR in office and then to have his wife do the things that she did and they did together, made this country. And it seems to me that the forces of greed and ambition, capitalism, imperialism, that they have taken down what FDR did. Pretty much, almost all of it. If we just went back to FDR, we would again have a middle class or the hope of a middle class and move in the right direction. And it seems to me that although I understand your ideas about it, it's not worth it, they affect our lives. Even if we don't, if we want to ignore them, they still come and affect your life. And I think it's going to be extremely hard to just walk away because they creep in by what they do.
Well, I agree with you to some extent. I say, though, that as the saying goes, in every crisis, there's opportunity. We have gone through several crises and have managed to miss opportunities to take a different path because we just don't want the responsibility of it. You talked about
people?
Some very important people who helped to change the trajectory that we were all on. But that doesn't help in a sense because even if they decide, let's say, that they're not going to take corporate money, there is nothing there to take the place of it. And you can go only so far in that game without a very strong financial backup. we disillusion ourselves into thinking we only need to think of something different. No, we need to do something different. We need to really get up and do the things that we want done. But we're very reluctant to do that. We like to talk, but when it comes to, say, you're financing an effort, it's not like it hasn't been done before. But people have grown to be very selfish, narrow-minded, short-sighted, and even good ideas that come along don't stand a chance of survival in a climate like that. So we are self-destructive in that sense. So we have a lot of work to do.
May I comment?
Sure.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I see exactly what you're saying. I've been involved in local politics, and not in elected positions, but in fighting in California, for example, fighting real estate developers. People told us when we started, and it regarded the Dana Point headlands, the only point left on the Pacific coast undeveloped. It was owned by the Chandler family that owned the LA Times. And I represented the group and was the head of the group for a time to stop their development. Everybody said, you can't win, you can't do anything. Well, we did. We actually did. We put things on the ballot and got the people to vote in the general election to vote down their development. Of course, it was only a temporary victory because they never stop. They never end. We're not employed by anybody paying us anything. So it's hard to win ultimately in that kind of a game. But what I have noticed from these Justice Democrats, those few that I told you about, I think there's seven in Congress now, they got their money only through individual contributions. Bernie Sanders is doing that. And I do recognize that your energy runs out at some point, fighting, even when you're just taking money from ordinary people. But he is now, I think, maybe one of the biggest, if not the biggest, benefactor from individual contributions. That does seem to make a difference from what I've seen in these people's activities in Congress, because they're getting their money from you and me. And I realize that they may become corrupt at some point, but that's the danger we all have of becoming corrupt. And it's what runs our country. One other thing I'd like to mention and then hear what you have to say.
I won't have much to say because we're practically out of time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, I was just going to say that Esper and Pompeo are both evangelicals. And they are the very fundamentalist evangelicals. They and General Miley apparently went to Mar-a-Lago, to get this decided about killing this general. So I'm concerned about the rapture and what they're looking for.
Mm. Well, they certainly could exclude me. I'm not part of the rapture movement.
I can't be part of that. I can't be part of it.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much.
And contributing again today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you all for contributing to the product that we produce today, which is new thinking, new thought. Hopefully, it guides us to the next level, which is doing something. A targeted action with a relatively short timeline, but with long-term benefits in mind. And we should work at it. We're all getting older. And we really need to account to ourselves, We need to account that we have done the work while we were here. Thanks so much for calling in. And we'll see each other tomorrow. It's Free Your Mind Friday, as you know. And the program belongs to you. You get to take it wherever you want to take it. And give us the opportunity to interact with each other, to listen to what you have to say. Whether we agree or disagree is not the point. The point is, there has to be somewhere, someplace, where you can express exactly what you feel. And that's what the point of Free Your Mind Friday is. Thanks for today, and looking forward to tomorrow. Bye-bye.